the series will be actually from Romans chapter 8. Okay? We will just go into Romans chapter 8 and we will take our time over it. There are going to be 4 sessions altogether. But the last session will not be taken by me, but it will be taken by Jackie and Stan, who are missionaries in Arizona with Jews for Jesus. They are Messianic Jews. And they will be teaching on the topic of this, the feasts of Israel. And that will be on the last session that we have together. Yeah. This is kind of news because I just found out. And that was going to be fun. Remember, how many of you were around when Jackie and Stan taught on the Passover? Yeah? So they will do a new session on the Feast of Israel. And I'm really looking forward to that. But we are going to be looking at the foundation of our Christian life. And it has to do with being led by the Holy Spirit. How do we be led by the Spirit? How are we able to know the difference between led by our flesh and led by our spirit? You know, if we are led by the flesh, you may be doing Christian things according to Christian principles. But if you're doing it by the law, not by the Spirit, by our human ability. And so I wanted to look at chapter 8. In some ways, all of our Christian life can be summed up in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 contains everything. Okay? You can study Romans chapter 8 for the rest of the year, and I almost say for the rest of your life, and you'll get the whole thing about the new life, the life of Christ inside us. And so you can be studying Romans chapter 8 for a long, long time. But I thought we would just begin by looking at this, and I will take my time. We'll try to look at the first 10 verses or 11 verses of Romans chapter 8 today, and then we'll continue. If we can have a good understanding of Romans chapter 8, we will have a good grasp of how the Holy Spirit's life, the life of God, overcoming life, can be ours. Okay. But before we go to Romans chapter 8, I'd like to read a few verses of Romans chapter 7. And so, if you can turn with me to Romans chapter 7 verse. And then we'll read 11 verses of Romans chapter 8. Okay? Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. But now if I do that which I would not, it is no more that I do it, but that sin that dwells in me. So Paul is speaking about it. There's something in me that's making me do evil, and it's not the devil. It's something in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present in me. Okay? When I do want to do good, evil is present. That's a very powerful statement. Evil is present. Yeah. So even in the midst of the me trying to do something, there's an evil present. For I delight in the law of God, verse 22, after the inward man. That means the man of the Spirit. Yeah. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law in my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, inside me, my body. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This body of this death. Who's going to take this body of this death off? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And so the verses that we just read in Romans chapter 7 speaks about a certain condition, and it kind of explains why we find that we can't overcome sin. We can't overcome the flesh. There's something about us that makes living in the life of God very, very hard. How many of you notice that in your life? And sometimes you would say the devil made me do it, but he's not talking about the devil, he's talking about something that's inside us, that is with us. Okay? And in verse 21, I said, I find that a law that when I would do good, evil is present in me. That's like a law that's upon me. that controls me, okay, laws control. And this law is present with me, okay? It's present with me, it's in me. Later on he says it's in my members as well, okay. For I delight in the law of God, verse 22, it's after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of it, which is in my members. So what Paul is saying is there's this thing that's in me, that's in my body of sin, what he calls the body of sin, right? Verse 24, the King James Version calls it the body of this death, the body of death. It's almost as if, even though our spirit inside us knows what is the right thing, knows what's God, wants to do the things of God, there is something that is militating against it. And Paul calls it the body of sin. What it means is, it's a body that's, its nature is that of sin. Yeah, its nature is that. It's like, how can you get a monkey to act like a human being? You cannot. A monkey can only act like a monkey. You know what I mean? Our body of sin can only act sinfully. Even when we do good things, our motives are all mixed. There's a tinge of pride, a tinge of self-serving, there's a tinge of something, a tinge of lovelessness. It's all there. And so what Paul is saying is this body of sin, there's something inside me, it's with me, in so far that whatever I do, it has this tinge. It's just got a taste of it. Does that make sense? It's tainted. Okay, he's talking about a Christian though. He's not talking about non-Christian, he's talking about a Christian. It's almost as if you just read only chapter 7, you just feel very hopeless because of the fact that we are just trying our best to live a good Christian life, trying to follow after the Spirit. And what Paul is saying is this, that your whole being, your whole body militates against it. Actually, it says later in chapter 8 that the flesh wars against the Spirit. And that may be something that will help us to explain why it is so hard to live the Christian life. It's so hard to live after the Spirit. It's so hard because how does the nature of a monkey live like the nature of a saint? How is that possible? It's not even possible. Does that make sense? And so what the law does, the legalism of the law, it tries to do is set, like, if you do these things, if you sort of set these boundaries, and you set these rules, you will be able to live a good life. But you can't. Any more than you can make a monkey act as a human being by giving the monkey good rules. You know, it's impossible. So what Paul in chapter 7 does is that he focuses on the nature of our body, the nature of our Christian life. And that is why a lot of times people who are wanting to do good actually end up doing bad. Doing bad. The bad that's in us finds us out. Does that make sense? We try to change the conditions so that things we will not do evil. And no matter how much we try to change the conditions, the evil inside us finds us out. We find ourselves not able to make a stand for the right things. We find ourselves weakening at crucial moments. It happens in our family. It happens in our work, it happens in our relationships, it happens in any church. Yeah, the worst comes out, you know. And we're finding that even in doing God's work, like, untold evil can come out from there. Why? Because what Paul is saying is the evil is present in me. Okay, so how is it possible to live the Christian life? There's evil that's present in us. It's called the body of sin. Yeah, body of sin. Wade Yates, sorry, it's like an old coat on a stick. It's like, that's how life is like that. It's just like, the more you try to shore it up, or try to put makeup on it, and try to dress it up and all that, the more the rot just still comes out. You know what I mean? It's like we're carrying around this dead body around us, and it stinks, right? And what God wants, and so in Romans chapter 8, it tells us what God did to set us free from it. Okay? But remember this, Romans chapter 8 is not, chapter 7 is not talking about non-Christian, it's talking about Christian. Okay, it's talking about Christian, it's talking about something that is in us. If we don't realize that, we will think it's not there. And when we think it's not there, we will be very confused about why it is we can't help falling into letting other people control our lives. falling into people pleasing, falling into pride, falling into hurt, falling into bitterness, falling into unforgiveness, falling into just being lame in the end. Yeah. So I lived a Christian life for 20 years before I began to realize that it is completely impossible. I come from a Christian family. We did not come from a broken family. We came from a family that's intact and all that. It should be. I mean, it should be the best way. I mean, I had a really good life. I mean, a good start. I mean, I didn't come from... My parents were not divorced. But I realized that by the age of 20, I don't need a bad family to be bad. I have badness all inside me. I'm a complete package of badness, of evil. I knew it. It didn't come from my father, it didn't come from my mother, my parents were great parents. I found it that no matter how much I try to be a good Christian, there is this evil that is present in me, verse 21. Yeah? And so what do we do? What has God done for us? Now verse 8 says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, no matter how much the law tries to impose, like tricks and all kinds of strategies to be better, the flesh, the body of sin, it just weakens it, it just makes it ineffective. No matter how much you try to put all kinds of laws and tricks and rules over it. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Okay? God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's not capable of that. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. Now, if any man or person or woman have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. I'm going to go a little bit backwards, okay? Let's look at this. Verse 10. Verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, okay? We are still having this dead body, this body that's incapable of living the Christian life. There's sin within us. Okay, if Christ is in you, the body is still dead. Does that make sense? Because Christ is in us doesn't mean the body is now suddenly changed. Yeah. Doesn't mean that suddenly I have a different body. No, it's the same body. Still same problems. Still tending to evil. Tending to evil. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But what it's saying is this, you see, that Romans chapter 7 says, we have a body that's dead. Okay, it's riddled with sin. Sin is with us. It is in us. But when Christ comes in us, even though the body is tending towards evil, the Spirit is alive in us. It's almost as if the Spirit is carrying this dead body. Whereas in the past, the dead body was carrying the dead body. When Christ comes in, his Spirit comes into this dead body. His Spirit doesn't sort of look for a better body. Does that make sense? The Holy Spirit doesn't separate from himself body. He comes inside this dead body. He comes inside our evil nature. Does that make sense? He's saying that, what Paul is saying is this, even though the body is dead, so you'll feel that deadness. You'll find that if you are a Christian, you will still feel the deadness, the sinfulness of our sin. the touchiness, the sensitivity, the insecurity, the wishing evil of other people, the competitiveness, the sense of wanting to authenticate ourselves, to affirm ourselves, you still feel that. The spirit doesn't cause it to disappear. Does that make sense? The spirit comes into that place. Right? The Holy Spirit comes and he's alive in a dead place. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit comes into a graveyard. The graveyard is still a dead graveyard and makes the graveyard a very joyful place. It's alive. Does that make sense? That is really important because there are some Christians who think when you become a Christian, the body changes. No, the body is still the same. Right? You still have the same tendencies. That means that even though you find that there are inside you temptations and bondages and addictions that make you want to go and do this way, you may find that you are thinking, I thought I'm a Christian, I shouldn't have these feelings anymore. Right? I thought when I'm a Christian, I shouldn't feel this hatred, anger, murder, you know? How many of you find that the most sinful time you feel is in the morning when you wake up? The first thing that comes to your heart, your mind is flooded with evil thoughts. Okay? That's silly. That's and the Holy Spirit comes into that place. Does that make sense? That is a really important thing. And because of that, you will find in you and in yourself and myself the places in which I can actually, on one hand, be so anointed, and on the other hand, be worse than the worst person I know. Okay? Because that part is still there. And when you become a Christian, you're going to find that the Holy Spirit carries that dead body. And everybody sees a dead body. He doesn't see the Holy Spirit. They just see the Holy Spirit is invisible and the dead body is just hanging over it like that. Does that make sense? So Paul is saying this, right? Chapter 7 is talking about this body that's body of sin. Gets all kinds of weird thoughts. It just keeps on. It's just almost uncontrollable. Okay? If you try to improve this, forget about it. Progressivism and liberalism, the current wisdom of the day, tells us this thing can be changed. It's getting better and better and better. The Bible is opposite in that it says it's getting worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. Unless the Holy Spirit carries this dead body, all efforts by this body are good, become evil. Mm-hmm. It can't help it, right? And so that's what Romans chapter 8, verse the first few verses. There is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ. All right? Now we're going to go back there. So we looked at verse 10, verse 11, okay? Now we're going to go back to verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, I feel that there is a key here. But before we go into this key, let's look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So what's happening is this. There are two laws that's happening. The law of sin and death has its own rules. It has its own controlling principles upon the way in which we are. Our body of sin is determined, it's controlled by the law of sin and death. Right? It's almost as if there is a law in our bodies that makes us sinful and evil and insecure and diminished and fearful and operating out of that. Right? It's a law. It's like the law of gravity. You hold this piece of paper up. If I move my hand, the law of gravity will cause it to fall down. Right? That is true. It never goes away. It goes away. There's a law of sin and death. But it says here, there's another law that goes on. And verse 2 says, the law of the Spirit of life, which is different, has made me free from the law of sin and death. So that even though the law of sin and death is there, it's always causing me to go down, there's another law of the Spirit of life that actually goes up in an opposite direction. Amen. Okay? So much so that even a body of sin a body of people can actually be subject to this law of the spirit of life that is there. Does that make sense? Is it ego still? Yes, it is. But it begins to be subject to another law that's actually lifting it up. Alright? What the law could not do because it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What He's saying is this, the law is meant to try to make us good. Okay? So that our ego doesn't go to our control. And so the Israelites in the Old Testament tried to follow the law because the law was meant to help to control our being so that we don't murder, we don't kill, we don't bear false witness, we don't do all these things, right? But when the body of sin is by nature shot through with sin, the law cannot make it do good. Does that make sense? It can mitigate it a bit, but it can't make it do good. Just like you can't tell a monkey to behave itself. I have two dogs. They're terrible. They're very affectionate, but they're terrible. And I know they're born sinners because when we are there, they're just really good. If they know we're not around, they will tear up the house. They will tear up our trash can. They won't do it when we're around. Rascals, they will wait for us to be away before they look at the trash can. The thing about us is this, the thing about me is this, I always make the mistake of judging the dogs as human beings. Does that make sense? We call it anthropomorphizing. We look at the dog as if it's a human, and so we attach moral qualities to the things that they're just being a dog. Does that make sense? And no matter how many laws I put upon them, when I'm away, the law is weakened. All my training is weakened by that. Does it make sense? We have to lock the door upstairs every day because even though the dog will never come up to our room upstairs, when we leave, if the door is open, the dog will go up the stairs, it'll tear up, right, tear up. It looks for tampons. This dog is like, I don't know why, it's like horrible. Sorry, I didn't mean to. Let's cut that out of that. It's sheer evil. Of course it's not evil. It's just a dog. Does that make sense? But I attack to the dog human qualities, and sometimes I make the mistake of getting really mad with them. What am I being mad with? How can I be mad? I have no basis for moral judgment. A dog is incapable of being human. Does that make sense? So the law is weakened. My law about a dog is weakened by the fact that their dog's very nature is that of a dog. It's just impossible. But Christian life is impossible. Because the Christian life says you must live like a god. Better than an angel. Not even an angel. Better than an angel. You have to live like God. Be perfect as I am perfect. As He is perfect. Be holy as I am holy. Does that make sense? And so the impossibility of living the Christian life must not be underestimated. Paul says, the law is weakened by our sinful flesh. Right? So that's basically that. Just like the law of the nature of a dog requires that the dog will be determined by that law, that it cannot act as a human being. So this is what sin has done. See, this, the fall has made us into not animals, but demons. We have more of the nature of a demon than one of an animal, actually, a lot of times. That's why we have malice in there. We plan malice. You know what I mean? We plan evil on our bodies. And so, but verse 2 says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What is happening is that it's not that the nature of our flesh has changed. This nature still has the law of sin and death. But a new nature came in. It came inside that. And then the law of the Spirit of life came in. The Spirit of God entered into that. Now, this is what it means when it says in verse 3 that God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now, this is what Jesus did. When Jesus came, the body he took on was not like a body 2.0, new and improved. It wasn't. Jesus came in and took on the body that had the tendency to sin like ours. Came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Not that it was like in the sense that we use the word likeness, like just like it, but not it. You know? No, what he meant, it was like it was had the imprint of that. It was had the character of it. So we have to understand that when Jesus came, he took on the body of sin. The kind of body that we have these tendencies. And he, by the Spirit of God, he battled that body and defeated it. Mm-hmm. And he condemned sin in that flesh. He destroyed it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? When he came under that body, took it on, carried it himself, he defeated it. So that its spiritual power over us would be broken. That's what he did. That's why when Jesus came, he entered into your darkness and mine. He carried it on himself. Does that make sense? So when we say you're not condemned, you don't just say it because, well, we are more enlightened, we are much more, you know, we're more modern, and so we say you're not condemned. It's not right to condemn people. We don't say it because of that. We say that you're not condemned because Jesus got condemned for our sake. Does that make sense? When we say you are not condemned, we are saying that Jesus is condemned. Jesus took on that condemnation. Most Christians, when they say you're not condemned, they're just saying it because they're just nice. But that's cheap. When we say people are not condemned, they're saying that Jesus was crushed. And that's why I said, when he carried the cross, it crushed him. He could have pushed the cross off, right? But he allowed the cross to make him stumble. Because he allowed it, the weight of that body of sin, to crush him. He could have just pushed it off, because he had the power to do that. But he didn't. Does that make sense? So when we say, you are not condemned and all that, it's very cheap, but what it meant, as far as Christ is concerned, is no. When I say you are not condemned, I'm saying I am condemned for you. Does that make sense? So when Christ went in there, he allowed the full brunt, the full weight of our own darkness to come upon him, and he let it crush him. Okay, let it crush him. Didn't push it off. And he does that not just 2,000 years ago, but does it every day for us. Now what happened is this, because of that, he condemned sin in the flesh. Only he could take on this body of sin and crush it, its power. It is almost as if, and all these are analogies, when he took upon him the body of sin and humanity, it's like all your sins, my sins, your past, my past, your future, my future, all the evil and all the sins that you were going to do and were done to you and all that was concentrated in one man. So what he was carrying was not his own sin, he was carrying your sin and my sin eternally. And we cannot even imagine that, right? That means all the addictions and the tendencies and all the darkness of your life and my life was put upon him, so he carried it. Can you imagine that? I just want to invite you to just imagine that he's carrying not just everybody else's, but your sin and my sin. He carried it. And what would it do to him? What would it do? First he let it crush it, and then he crushed it.
Amen.
That's what it means. That's why the Son of God, sending his Son in likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That means made its destiny finished. Does that make sense? He judged it, separated it, broke it, and decimated it. That is what he did. So much so that when we carry the body of sin now, which we still have in chapter 7, right? So this is the body of a Christian. That body has been essentially defeated by Christ. That's the meaning of that. What are some of the keys that we can look at today? We'll continue in the future. The first thing is this, as we look back at verse 1. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because that body that of sin that we carry has been condemned already by Christ. Its power has been broken. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? There is no condemnation to us who walk not after the flesh, and he's going to follow that, but after the Spirit. Now, let's just look at the word after. Okay? After is a really important thing. We have to walk after, not before, not in front of, not in place with, but after. Christians have to live after. What does it mean? After you. Not the first thought that comes, but the afterthought that comes. Not the first tendency that comes, but the after one. Does that make sense? So that we have no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, not following the flesh, but after the Spirit, following the Spirit. After means you go first more. Right? After means I don't take my first reaction first. I go after. And it's after your Spirit. Because as long as we are keyed into the body of sin, our first reaction is from the body of sin. As we grow more and more in God, more and more the body of sin is reduced or overcome by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And when that happens, you begin to find the first reaction is the thing of the Spirit. But most people, as they begin, their first reaction is the reaction of the law of sin and death. Does that make sense? So you wake up in the morning, the first thing what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Coffee.
That's not bad.
I don't want to get up.
Okay, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? What is your first tendency? Social media. Social media. Or what is it? And what are you looking for in social media? Don't know what you're looking for. Looking for somebody to say something. Somebody to come through to you. The social, the phone is like taking you to the world. I want to put it to you that actually to walk in the flesh is to just immediately go and take it up. To walk after the Spirit is you wake up, you let the Holy Spirit go first. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that comes is praise. Mm-hmm. God comes. Now I realized for my own life that that was not the case. I wake up at 5 o'clock to do my devotions. But before I do the devotions, take my phone to the toilet, right? Take the phone to the bathroom. I sit on the throne. And I just rule from here. What am I looking for? Nothing. Well, first of all, I'm looking for any urgent things that came. Okay, so that's true. And then the Lord convicted me and says, now you walk after the Spirit. That means you do that after. Does that make sense? So I found that the biggest change, this really simple thing, is to do the after thing. That is, I praise you first. First thing I go, I tell Cindy, okay, the first thing we do when we wake up, we say, praise your name, Lord. Yeah. You just mean praise you. You start with that and then make a space for the Lord to come. Does that make sense? You do after. That means whatever you want to do on social media, I'm not saying don't do it, but if you're going to do it after. Does that make sense? Just that little key can make a huge difference to everything. Most of our reactions to people, what people do and all that, is kind of wrong, it's irritated, it's insecure, it is whatever it is. You go after. The first thought that comes to your mind is, Lord, don't let that be the first thing. You just say, Lord, what is your thought right now? What is your thought? I want to key into you. Does that make sense? When we're not keyed into God, what happens is that we are keyed into everything else. our minds are often not trained. So what we have is a lot of raw thoughts, a lot of raw feelings. But these raw feelings actually come, they actually come from the native body of sin. So I always tell people who are young Christians, you need to walk in the Lord more and more until more and more the Holy Spirit suffuses and infuses this body of sin so much so that even this body of sin can have as a first reaction the Holy Spirit's word, the Holy Spirit's reaction. But not yet. We don't be presumptuous. Does that make sense? We allow ourselves to be immersed by the Spirit more and more. Many afters will cause the Holy Spirit to go first, and you will go in pace of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So that's the first thing. That's after. Walk after the Spirit. And I find that a lot of times if I wait and let the Holy Spirit go rather than go in my first reaction, it's a lot better. Yeah, it's a lot better. Okay. So one of the things that I began to find happening to my life was that, unlike when I was younger, whenever somebody was sick, the first thing I would do was to pray for them first, rather than tell them what medicine to take or to send them to the doctor, right? And one of the things I found when my children would get sick, especially when they had a pain before a swim meet and all that, the first thing I would do would be saying, okay, you got the Tylenol, or you got the... That's the first thing I would do. And that's the first thing. And if I follow the first thing and I go first, then that would be the first thing I would do. I would just give them the Tylenol, or give them the whatever it is. And Cindy began to say, why is it the first thing you do is to give them medicine? Why don't you pray for them? Now, I have seen many miracles happening, but it's very easy to actually begin to fall into the flesh in which you actually go by what the body of sin actually suggests, which is take care of it quickly. You can be certain that ibuprofen works very well. I believe in ibuprofen. It really works. Prayer, I'm not so sure. So you know how the mind just gets distorted? And so at a certain point, I felt really convicted that actually I have to walk after. Right? After. That means it's true. My first thought will be reach for the Tylenol. And I go for the after one, which is, what does the Lord want to do? And we began to start doing the thing about praying first. And you know what? More healings take place. Now my first reaction is that praying is the first one. Does that make sense? So there are ways in which what Romans is saying is this: don't be too confident about your own thoughts. Don't be too confident on your first thing. After the Spirit. Right? Not after the flesh. Okay, the second thing I wanted to say before we close is just another little thing. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then that they are of flesh cannot please God. What Paul is basically saying is that a central place where all the warfare actually comes is in the mind. So what he's saying is that to be carnally minded, that means if your mind is key into the flesh, things of your own natural tendency, your mind will be lead to death. Okay? They that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. How do we mind the things of the Spirit? What does it mean to mind the things of the Spirit? Where your mind is where you're dwelling. Yeah? You know, we talk about the word dwell, right? Dwell in the presence of God. What does it mean to dwell in the presence of God? It's where your mind is, where your mind is located. Does that make sense? When our mind is located in the presence of God, that means our mind is set on that. Then that's where it's located. You may not think anything, but the mind is set there. Does that make sense? That's really important. The mind that is set into the flesh, to carnality, or to the things of the flesh, you're going to find that the mind will come up with things off that place. You're always finding human solutions. Always finding emergency kind of things. Things that come out of fear. Things that come out of suggestions. Things that are logical, that are valid, but not true. But when he says, when our mind is set on the Spirit, what it means is we set our mind towards God. Does it make sense? So set our mind towards God means we live with Him. And so that means that the mind has to be taken care of very carefully. Because the mind always drops to the flesh, right? It always drops to the carnal things. But to actually set the mind on things in heaven is to be able to constantly bring it back up towards God. And let the mind be pointed towards God. Where our mind wanders and where our mind dwells is an important part. If your mind dwells with where people are and people's opinions are, then your mind is actually going to be a product of all these forces. If your mind is where what the world is saying is there, then the material of your mind will just be with the material that is your environment. But when your mind is in heaven, your material is not Bible verses, you know. It's not Christian principles. It is things that God is saying, revelation, supernatural things. Does that make sense? So when you're dwelling there, you're not dwelling in Bible bullets or Bible kind of stuff or Christian culture. You're actually dwelling in this rarefied atmosphere in which you're pointed to God. You're saying, God, what do you have to say? You're not necessarily hearing anything, but you're pointed there. Does that make sense? Now, I suspect that the Christian life looks very different from what we commonly see. And that's why when you go to places where there is revival, the man or woman of God looks very different from the man or woman of God that we are commonly considering here today. The person is very much in prayer. Very much sort of slightly removed from the things of the world. They're not completely engaged. There's something between them. They're not disengaged. There's something between them. They're not completely into you. Does that make sense? They're not into you completely. They're into you enough for them to be present. But not really that into you. Does that make sense? You would love them to be more into you, but they're not. They're into God. But because they're into God, what they are into you is just right. Yeah. Does that make sense? Now the human world wants them to be into you. Right? Does that make sense? But you are not called into anybody. You are called into God. Amen. And if you are into God, God will send you just right. Just right, just right. So your mind, the location of the mind is very important. Now, our mind is often guided by affections, where our affections are. And that's why a lot of people, their affections trap them in things that are this world, as a result of that, they can't go that deep. They can't catch the things that are God that are not of this world. And as a result of that, they don't see too many miracles. All the things that they do is within the structures of what's possible within this world. They can't pull something from outside this world and see it happen. And that's why two things, okay? After and mind. Can we just remember that when we go back? And then when we look at Romans chapter 8 later on, we'll go from there, okay? I'm going to just read Romans chapter 8, the verses that we read again, and then we'll close in prayer. Verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But they that are after flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. But to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead, still dead, because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit and dwells in you. And the more and more we, he who is in us is followed, then what happens is that even our bodies that are dead, they get quickened. They're still dead, but they get quickened. That means that you find this dead body doing a lot of things that you didn't expect it to be able to do. You find your dead mind, the corrupted mind, getting pure thoughts, getting revelations, getting things that are beyond. So let's pray. Lord, we acknowledge the body of sin that we still have, but we praise you that you have broken its power over us. And thank you, Lord, that you bore the crushing weight of this body of sin. So by doing that, you condemn sin. Thank you that you are now in us. We want to be after you, Lord. Help us to keep our minds for longer periods of the day set upon you. So pray that you be with us when we wake up tomorrow morning. That we will follow after you.